Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
What's up? Winning cures everything. College football preview show for week number 4. I'm Gary.
And I'm Chris.
You can find us over at winningcureseverything.com. We do a pick'em contest over there every week. We have had 3 big-time winners all get Tunica prize packs. You can go sign up for that again this week. We've already got the lines up. They're already rocking and rolling. Get over there. Get yourself entered. All it takes is an email and a couple of minutes of your time to fill out some multiple-choice questions. So, head over to winningcureseverything.com, check that out. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button for us. Tell us whether you like or don't like. Tell us if you agree, if you don't agree. Tell us what your picks are. Tell us what we got right, what we got wrong, etc. All of those wonderful things. Leave some comments on the YouTube videos. Click like if you would. Hit subscribe if you would. Share the show out with your buddies. Tell them about it. It's word of mouth. That's how you grow. That's how you do things, right?
We do appreciate all the fans, yes. All the people watching, all the people listening, and sharing it out. It means a lot.
It really does. If you're listening on the podcast, make sure you hit subscribe. Make sure you leave a nice 5-star review. Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, whatever your favorite podcast app is, we're on it. Just go look for Winning Cures Everything. Obviously, if you're listening to this, you've already found it. So, congratulations. But yeah, hit subscribe for us. Share that thing out. The show, every week, every show, brought to you by Tunica, Mississippi, the South's premier sports gambling destination. They got 6 incredible sports books. Was just down at them last weekend. Wonderful, wonderful places. You can find more information on them. You can make some decisions about what you want to do while you're down there, etc. Go to tunicatravel.com. Help yourself out. Get down to the Delta. So, we got some big games this week.
We do have some big games.
Last week, okay.
No, we got some big boy games.
But this week, we got some big boy games. And, I mean, there's some of these that last week would have been the headliner. And this week, they're like 3-4 down the rung.
Correct.
I mean, just ridiculous. You ready to go on and fire into them?
Come on.
Let's do this thing. We don't want to take up too much of your time. Game number 1, Notre Dame at Georgia. Number 7 versus number 3. Georgia, a 14-point favorite down in Athens. Total of 56, 7 p.m. on CBS. It's at Sanford Stadium down in Georgia. Notre Dame has not been a double-digit underdog in the regular season since USC in 2016. Before that, it was 2013. Now, obviously, they were like 11-point dogs to Clemson last year, but man.
It's a lot of points.
This is a ton of points.
They are separated by 4 spots in the rankings, and they are a wide margin based on what Vegas thinks.
Notre Dame's defensive line averages weighing like 276 to 280 pounds. That's their average for their defensive line. Georgia's offensive line averages like 340. Notre Dame's defense gives up on average. Now, they've only played, 2 games now?
That's right.
They have been giving up 240 yards rushing a game. Georgia averages 287 rushing. Now, the big difference here is Ian Book and that offense have been making some big-time plays.
Right.
And the wide receiver core looks good. They got playmakers, and obviously we don't know who these guys are yet, but they are fast, and they can make some plays down the field. So the question will be, can Georgia's defense slow down their offense? Because I don't think that Notre Dame's defense can slow down Georgia's. So, how are you leaning on this? Like, let's go ahead and get into the pick section of this.
I would really like to see Notre Dame have a good show in here. I don't think we're going to get it.
No, I think Georgia is really... I think Georgia may be the best team in college football this year.
Yeah, they could be.
I am about ready...
They could be.
...to say that Georgia's going to win the SEC.
Yeah, like they could.
I feel really good about that.
I know this. Their side of the fence... I mean, they should moonwalk to Atlanta.
Yeah.
There's going to be a fist fight on the West.
Yeah, and Georgia still got to play at Auburn.
Nope, you're right. But that's one big game.
I still think that they are heads and shoulders better than Auburn.
You're probably right. No, I don't know that I disagree with that.
Yeah. I am going to take Georgia minus the 14 here.
I think if I had to lay it, I'd lay it.
All right. So we're both rolling Georgia here. I would like to see a close game. I mean, this was close, you know, in South Bend 2 years ago. I mean, it was a one-point game, but that was right when Georgia was coming on the scene. You know, there was a lot to that. But, man, Georgia just looks like the ridiculously better team right now.
That's right.
Just ridiculously better. All right, let's move into game number two. Michigan at Wisconsin. Wisconsin, a 3.5-point favorite. It's in Camp Randall Stadium in Madison, Wisconsin, 11 a.m. on Fox. The total is 43. Super low total. Makes perfect sense. But man, these Fox big noon kickoffs already driving me nuts. All right, it's great. It's fine. It's fun. You know, because as soon as you get out of the pregame show, it's like, all right, turn off game day.
I like it because usually the first set of games are boring, and because I'm already watching pregame and I haven't really gotten into like a big honey-do list, like I get a lot of the early game to watch, and then after about, you know, the end of that game, I start getting the eyes in the back of the head saying, you're just going to sit on your ass all day? Are you going to do something? And then yeah, now I start missing some of the bigger games to try to make some appeasements in the house. I'm not upset with it. Of course, I'm not the one that has to wake up and be ready to go to a fist fight at 11 in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's not my problem. My problem is I get to wake up and I get to watch a really good football team, and then I might have to go do some crap.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see where you're coming from with that.
So I'm not mad at it.
I feel like Camp Randall at night for this game.
Oh, well, that's a different conversation, though.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. They're turning these Big Ten... Big 12 games into these 11 a.m. games, and it's just, it kind of makes it feel less big, which I think could help Michigan in this spot.
Oh, if you're the road team, you absolutely 100%. Want this game at noon. At some point in time, I'm going to end up at Camp Randall at night.
Yeah,
it's just really hard when they don't have like a set schedule, and we say this game's going to be played at 6:30, 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
I need that to happen so I could schedule vacation.
Jim Harbaugh, one of only two coaches, he and Tom Allen, to have coached at least six games as an underdog and never win one outright at their school. He's 2-4 against the spread as an underdog, but he's never won one outright. Michigan, they hammered Wisconsin last year.
That's right. They sure did.
And I don't think Wisconsin is going to forget about that. Wisconsin ranked number one in the country in team efficiency, number eight in offense, number one in defense. Michigan ain't that. No. They have not looked cohesive yet. There are chemistry issues on offense. Josh Gattis's play calling and whatnot, very suspect so far. I mean, do you trust Harbaugh here?
So before the season started, we both was shocked the hell out of me that you had Michigan going 12-0.
Now, I will say this.
I had Michigan going 12-0.
Defensive efficiency, as far as SP Plus numbers, they've got Michigan number one defense in the country right now.
Yep.
Now,
don't surprise me.
It's a little questionable because when I look at it, I'm like, okay, maybe they're seeing something I'm not. Because it doesn't look like the number one defense, but when you look at the numbers and the success rate and everything else, as far as, you know, team efficiency, Wisconsin is number one in team efficiency and defensive efficiency, but SP plus defensive efficiency, Michigan is number one. So all of these analytics that, like, I tend to trust, right? Because it has to do with the things that really matter. They cut out the garbage time, which there hasn't been a lot for Michigan here lately. There has been for Wisconsin. But it cuts out all the crap. And it just points
to... At what point in time do they cut out the garbage time when Wisconsin is beating people 79 to nothing?
Well, here's the deal.
So where does garbage time start? Because when it's 35 to nothing in the second quarter, do they say, okay, everything else is just trash?
In the first quarter, because I heard Bill Conley talking about this. In the first quarter, it is if you go up by 43 points in the first. So basically the entire first quarter matters, right? Okay. Second quarter, if you are up by 36 points, then it drops down to like 29 points in the third and then 21 points in the fourth. So for Wisconsin, basically the second half of every game
hasn't mattered.
Has not mattered. And the issue is like they are consistent. Like they do not want you to score on them. And if they bring that same kind of fire to this game with how Michigan's offense has looked, one, if Shea Patterson can't hold on to the football,
it's over.
Ooh, this is going to be a long day.
You give him a short field, it's over. So I'm going to give you my pick.
Go ahead.
I originally had Wisconsin going 12-0. I mean, Michigan going 12-0.
Yeah.
I originally had them winning the Big Ten and making it to the playoff. Saw 2 weeks of football from both of these teams. I think Wisconsin's one of the best teams in the country, and I think Wisconsin has a I think they win the game. I think they cover. I think there's a chance they beat their ass. Now, I don't know
what is beat the money their ass. Like on this?
It's probably pretty even.
No,
it's not even.
71% on Wisconsin.
That's not crazy, though. No. It doesn't get scary until you get in the 80s.
Well, I don't think it'll get in the 80s because it's Michigan, right?
But I'm just saying, it doesn't get scary until it gets in the 80s. There are no statistics that you can learn from 70 points, 70% of one way or the other.
Man. My eyes have told me that it is Wisconsin. And I think that's one of my biggest problems as a bettor, right, is going against what you have seen and saying, but maybe there's something fluky going on here.
Look, I like Jim Harbaugh. I'm one of the few people in the world that actually like Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
I believe in him. I've been a defender of his since he's been there. I think he's a really good coach. My biggest problem is I've watched Shea Patterson play football at Ole Miss. And I've watched Shea Patterson play football at Michigan. And I don't know that this is a Harbaugh situation. I think Harbaugh, and we've had this conversation on the show before.
Yeah.
I think all of Harbaugh's flaws at Michigan have been he has not had a trigger man yet. Yeah. And I don't think he still does in Shea Patterson.
Yeah, you're probably right.
That's where my belief comes in of making my pick is he is still struggling to find a quarterback there. Look, I've been an LSU fan my whole life. I know what this is like. Great football teams hindered because you have an anchor. You have a dead weight just pulling your team down by its throat because you don't have the right guy with the football every snap. There's no coaching that can fix that. If you don't have the dude that can do it, you can't teach him to do it.
Yeah, I'm going to roll Wisconsin, too.
I could be wrong. 3.5. I could be wrong.
I don't think you are this time.
But I'm just saying I don't believe in Shea Patterson. They make the move. They put in McCaffrey. McCaffrey does some crazy stuff. Then all bets are off, and I got to see what I'm looking at.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point.
I don't believe in Patterson.
Game number three, Auburn at Texas A&M. Now, A&M is a 4-point favorite here. The total is 48. A little low, it seemed like.
Yep.
2:30 p.m. on CBS, Kyle Field and College Station. Until last season, the road team had won every matchup dating back to 2012, and then Auburn got the win at home last year. Under Jimbo Fisher, A&M is 7-1 against the spread, 8-0 straight up as a home favorite. The only non-cover was against LSU in that 7 overtime game last year when they were favored by 3 and they only won by 2.
Yep. Should have lost the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I like Jimbo in this spot.
I'm staying as far away from this game as possible. I really like both of these teams. I'm going to watch every second of this game. I like both these teams. I like both these programs and what they're doing. And I have no earthly idea. Yeah, normally I would just take the home team. I would probably, in this situation, just take the team catching points. You give me more than a field goal, I'll take Auburn.
You want to talk about a beautiful setup of football? You got the next game we'll talk about in a minute. The last game, Utah-USC on Friday night, late. And then you've got Michigan-Wisconsin at 11 a.m. You got Auburn-Texas A&M at 2:30. You got Notre Dame-Georgia at 7. And on your other TV, you can have Oklahoma State-Texas.
I was just going to say, I'm going to need another game at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, you got Oklahoma State-Texas.
Because as much as I want Notre Dame to be good, that game could be over at halftime, and I'm going to be pissed off if nothing else is there to watch. But
you just flip it over to ABC. I'm going to go with A&M here. I think at some point, Bo Nix is going to look like a freshman. And I think A&M has the dudes to be able to score some points on that Auburn defense.
I just don't understand your enamored with him being a freshman when 80% of college football right now are true freshmen or redshirt freshmen doing incredible things. It's just all over the sport.
They can do incredible things, but they also have their moments where they look like freshmen.
That's right, but okay, that's fine. I just don't understand this argument when you look at half of the sport is nothing but true freshmen doing big things.
I'm not saying that he can't do big things. I'm saying that at some point, it will rear its ugly head, and you're going to see mistakes made.
Okay.
And I think that first game...
But I think every quarterback does that.
First game...
I think every quarterback has that issue, problem, or possibility.
First game on the road for him in this spot. I think that this will be the first game that he's played where the crowd hasn't been almost 100% behind
him. I'm not knocking your pick, and you could absolutely be right. I just don't understand your logic because it's only Auburn where you really nitpick the freshman quarterback. But everybody else is starting a freshman quarterback, and you talk about how great they play and the position that they take their team to when they make these big-time drives to compete and to do big things. I just don't understand the consistency. That's all. That's all.
Well,
we talked up Kentucky and their situation. We've talked up South Carolina and how good their quarterback looks. Like, there are multiple quarterbacks that are true freshmen. The kid at Boise State, I don't know at what point in time do you need to see a freshman be really good and say, you know what, maybe Auburn's freshman is good too. Like, I own my biases, okay? I have no problem. I know I'm not letting you talk right now.
Yeah.
But I have no problem whatsoever saying, I hate this team, I'm picking against them. I'm not going to give you some bullshit reason why I think this is this and this is that. No, I'm just going to tell you, I don't like their ass.
No, because if I thought that Auburn was better than Texas A&M, I would pick them to win the game. Okay. Like, that's just how it is. Okay. As far as other freshmen, you brought up Kentucky. That kid is not a freshman. He's a freaking senior. Like, he came from Troy. He's a grad transfer. So, no, I'm not going to talk about him in a big-time freshman situation.
But there have been multiple freshmen.
But Hank from Boise State... we haven't talked about his other games because he hadn't played anybody else. He had a big-time spot against Florida State, and that's against a terrible-ass defense, right? Like, what Florida State has shown is they are awful. But, yeah, Bachmeyer had an absolutely awful game against Marshall the week after at home. Like, yes, freshmen are going to have their spots. We didn't really recap a bunch about USC and BYU, but... we did bring up on the recap that BYU confused him and actually made him look like a freshman. So, yes, I have criticized these freshman quarterbacks. So, this pick is not a biased pick.
Okay.
This pick is, I think Texas A&M is still a really good team.
I do, too. Nobody has believed I picked them to win the SEC this year.
And I think that they are, at home here, going to be able to handle Auburn. Okay. And I think one of the reasons is because of the quarterback.
Okay.
I think that Kellen Mond is a better quarterback than Bo Nix. I think Bo Nix will make a mistake that will cost him the game. That doesn't mean he's not good. All that means is I think he's a freshman going on the road playing in front of 105,000 people that don't like him for the first time ever.
Yeah, he might be really bad.
He may be great for most of the game, but he can have one absolutely crippling turnover. It's like Kirk Cousins, right? He's an NFL quarterback. He's pretty good. But in high-pressure situations,
but we've got years of seeing Kirk being that. We've got years of seeing Jameis being that. You've never seen this kid make that mistake, so you just don't know.
This is just a prediction. This is just it's what I think is going to happen.
It's okay.
And you and I both have been wrong about these things before, and I will absolutely be wrong again. But that is why I'm making this pick. I'm going A&M minus the 4. Jesus Christ. And you're going Auburn plus the 4. You taking Auburn to win?
No, I'll take A&M to win.
Take A&M to win. All right. Now that we've gone through that, game number 4. Oklahoma State at Texas. Texas minus 5.5. Texas is number 12 in the country. Oklahoma State is not ranked, but by God, I feel like they probably should be. The total is 73 in this game, 6:30 p.m. on ABC at Royal Memorial Stadium in Austin, Texas. Everybody talks about Tom Herman with the underdog numbers, and he's so good as an underdog, and da-da-da-da-da. Texas? 5-1 straight up and against the spread in their last 6 as a favorite by less than a touchdown. However, Oklahoma State, 7-1 against the spread, 6-2 straight up in their last 8 as a dog. The 2 losses were to Oklahoma. Oklahoma State, 5-1 straight up in their last 6 against Texas. They have won 4 straight. And God, all week long, I wanted to take Texas. Since the line came out, I was like, I feel like Texas is probably the better team. But man, the more I look at this, the more I think Oklahoma State.
Mike Gundy doesn't like Herman, and he's not afraid of Herman or Texas.
No.
Tried to fight him last year after this game.
Their quarterback, Spencer Sanders, absolutely ridiculous. Real good. Wallace, the wide receiver.
God. Every year they're going to have a big wide receiver come out of nowhere.
And Chuba Hubbard.
And I was just about to say, yep.
No. Man. Now, Sam Ehlinger.
Sam is a stud. We have talked about him on our show. He is great.
I will say this. I do think that this game will be more fun to watch than Georgia Notre Dame.
There's no question that this will be the game I'll be watching. I'm going to tell you this. Sam is the best player on the football team.
I think he's probably the best player on the field. Overall.
On the field. That's fine. But that's what I meant. No, but he'll be the best player Saturday night on the field. I'll take the other 3 over the best 3 Texas has got. If I get a combination of the best running back, the best receiver, and the best quarterback, I will take OKC, Oklahoma State, and Mike Gundy.
I'm rolling the same way as you. I like Gundy here. I think if it is like this looks just like a field goal game.
He just has Texas's number.
Yeah.
And he's not afraid of Herman, and he doesn't like Herman. And Gundy just seems to be able to get under people's skin.
I'm going to assume that you're taking Oklahoma State.
I'm going to take Oklahoma State.
I can understand it. You think this goes over the 73? I don't think either one of these defenses can stop it.
No, I don't either, but the problem is if they get into situations where Oklahoma State starts running the football a lot, you could eat a lot of clock up.
Yeah, you might be right.
73.5 is where it's been. I mean, it's
a lot of points.
I'm going to just stay away from the over.
Yeah, that's just that's
so they could easily bust 80. I mean, that's not outside of the realm of possibilities.
What was LSU, Texas was what, 42-35?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no. They could do this pretty easily.
Yeah.
And I think LSU's defense is better than both these teams' defenses. But it just the game flow changes that, though.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's hard to say they did this, so they'll do that. But, yeah, another big game in Austin. I would say this. Texas fans are going to give me crap because I'm picking against them again 2 weeks in a row, 2 big games in Austin in a row. if they lose these two big home games, big night games in Austin, that is going to be a problem. Realistically, yeah. If I didn't believe in Gundy, and I didn't know how much Gundy has owned this rivalry last few years, I would say everything in me tells you just exactly what you thought.
Yeah.
I'm trying to talk myself into making Texas be the pick here. I don't know what things look like in Austin if he loses their two first big home games. They play two games a year, and if he loses both of them before you get really into league play.
Before you get into Oklahoma, before you get to Texas or TCU.
I mean, that's going to be tough.
Yeah. I am going to pick Oklahoma State to win outright here.
Oh, you got State to win it too.
Yeah, I think I'm taking the Cowboys. Good gracious,
that's hard.
This is a tough one to read. Like I don't think I'm betting this one, but if I had to go that direction, that's the way I'd go.
Yep.
All right, game number five is a Friday night game. The Utes, Kyle Whittingham's Utah bunch, a 4-point favorite at USC. Total is 50.5. It's Friday, 8 p.m. on FS1. It's at the Memorial Coliseum in Los Angeles. Utah has only been favored over USC two times. They covered both of them. They have covered three straight against USC. Aside from 2018 against Notre Dame, which they covered, USC has not been a home underdog since 2013, which is an insane streak.
That's right.
I mean, that's pretty crazy, especially for as bad as that program has been at times.
That tells you the
talent that they've had.
Well, the talent they've got, but the state of the Pac-12.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nobody's been able to come in there and really challenge them.
The Bear, Chris Felica from ESPN's College Game Day, put out a tweet earlier that said something along the lines of Clay Helton has been an underdog in, 12 games? Or maybe it was 13 games. He's either 2-11 against the spread and has not won any of them, or it's like 2-10 or whatever. Either way, it's bad.
Yeah, it's not good.
He's not very good as an underdog. I mean, this is a bad spot. I think Utah's defense, while their numbers are not setting the world on fire, we understand how good that defensive line is, how disruptive they can be. Slovis, he had some problems last week with BYU.
Man, they put up 27 points.
I understand, but he threw three picks.
True.
That's where the issue was. That's why they lost the game, was the three picks. I think Utah can do a lot of the same things, and I think that they will be able to slow down USC much more so than BYU was. I like Utah here. I'm going to go Utah -4.
Yeah, I'd probably lay the points. I don't like taking road favorites like that, but I'd probably take the points.
I think Utah's just the better team. Like, yeah. Sometimes it's just – that just is what it is.
They're poised to win this thing.
So, in USC schedule, what is it, Utah now, then they've got Washington next week. And then, Oregon the week after that or something
Yeah.
Oh, no, Notre Dame.
I know they have Washington and Oregon close.
It's I don't know. I don't think they play Oregon. I think it's Notre Dame right after that.
Okay, maybe not.
So, yeah, they lose this one. That would move them to 2-2. And then you got Washington and Notre Dame. I mean, that puts you at 2-4.
Yeah.
Scary situation for Clay Helton, man. I got to tell you. All right, let's get into the extra points. Wow. A lot of interesting games this week. So we're going to rapid fire through this. Air Force at Boise State on Friday night. Boise, an 8-point favorite. Boise, 1-5-1 against the spread against Air Force all time. Pretty crazy. Air Force off a big win over Colorado. Boise has looked good. This could be maybe a letdown spot Friday night. You know, we'll see. How do you feel?
I have no idea.
No idea about this one?
No feeling whatsoever.
Air Force's offense is tough to prep for. Very tough to prep for. Colorado at Arizona State. Arizona State, a 7.5-point favorite coming off of a huge win in East Lansing over Michigan State. Colorado coming off of a overtime, just kind of momentum-stopping loss to Air Force. This could be really close. Colorado, I'm not going to say handled, but they beat Arizona State by a touchdown last year. Colorado's still got a really good offense.
Right.
They've got some playmakers. That is one thing that Arizona State did not have to worry about with Michigan State. I think Colorado's going to be able to score a little bit on these guys. It may not be much, but they will be able to put up points. Washington, a six-point favorite at BYU. And there's a lot of money on Washington right now, right?
I don't know.
There it is right there. 86% of the bets are on Washington, and the line actually went down. And that's always a scary proposition, right?
Yeah.
Because it kind of means that Vegas wants you to bet Washington. I'm probably going to roll with them because I think Washington is just that much better. Washington beat BYU 35-7 last year in Seattle. Washington, you know, coming off of that Cal loss, I think they're fired up. They understand we cannot lose again. Jacob Eason, I think, finds a way to get this done. I think he will be able to perform better against that BYU defense. But remember, this is the fourth straight Power 5 team that BYU has had to play. Across the country and back. They're home underdogs again. I think I like Washington in this spot. Kentucky at Mississippi State. Right now, it's a six-point line.
Both these teams coming off pretty brutal losses.
Yeah. Kentucky's, I feel like, was maybe more excruciating. Mississippi State, Tommy Stevens, quarterback, still day-to-day. We don't know exactly what's going to happen there. Garrett Schrader may be the starter. Either way, I think there's problems in Starkville. And I will say, Kentucky, this east-west rivalry that they've got with Mississippi State, the home team has won every year. And they have really dominated
at home every year. I was just about to say, they've won pretty easily
every
year.
Pretty handily.
Yeah.
But man, I don't trust Mississippi State at all here. I like Kentucky. I think they're pissed off. The way that their guys have talked since losing that game to Florida.
So frustrating.
They are.
They had that game won.
Yeah, they are fired up. Michigan State, -9.5 at Northwestern. Again, rolling through really quickly. The Spartans, just an ugly loss. You know, it should have had another chance at a field goal. Not that we know that they would have made it, but at least they should have had the other opportunity over Arizona State. But they lose at home there. Now they got to go on the road to Northwestern, who loves covering as a dog.
Well, they just like covering and winning against Big Ten teams.
Yeah. I mean,
that's just what they do.
Last year went 0-for against non-conference competition.
And undefeated Big Ten.
Well, aside from Michigan, but went 8-1. 7-1, whatever it was.
7-1.
They lost to Michigan.
Oh, that's right. Covered. I don't remember them playing Michigan.
They lost 20-17 at home.
Okay, I missed that.
So, but yeah, Northwestern at home is a scary proposition.
I'm not worried about the Northwestern situation. I don't know that Michigan State should be a 10-point favorite against anybody.
I agree with you.
I mean, they just don't look good.
No, when they go up against not good defenses, well, that's one thing.
Little teams that they can push around, yeah, but almost anybody in the Big Ten outside of Rutgers, they shouldn't be able to push around.
Well, even Rutgers, they only beat by 3 last year.
Yeah, but
their offense was even worse last season.
Yeah, I'm not worried about last year.
Yeah. Northwestern in these spots is almost just print money.
We love them.
Absolutely love them. Oregon -10.5 at Stanford. Stanford looks awful. Awful.
Yeah, they're bad.
And how Oregon's only a 10-point or 10.5-point favorite, I'm not quite sure. There's a lot of public money on the Ducks here. Mario Cristobal, if he's going to get it done, man, you better beat Stanford this year. And I understand it's on the road. Stanford coming back from going cross-country. I mean, man, UCF put them down last week, and it was not a pretty sight whatsoever. Cal +2 at Ole Miss. The Bears got to go across the country to play an 11 a.m. game in Oxford.
It's going to be like the seventh circle of hell in Oxford.
Yeah, it's going to be 100 degrees, humidity at like 98%, just ugly. Now, I don't think that Ole Miss is very good, but man, this is bad situational football for Cal.
We disagree on this game. I'm not picking it as a gambling pick, but
I think
Ole Miss is one bad half against Memphis away from being a 3-0 football team.
And you might be right.
Before the season started, we were flipped. You had Ole Miss winning this game, and I had Cal winning this game. And today, Cal is better than I thought. The Cal is fine. Cal hasn't really changed a whole lot. Ole Miss is a lot better than what I thought they were. And my expectations were pretty low. And I think they're going to give them hell. And I think that those boys from the West Coast.
They might just fall out.
They're going to fall apart because it's going to suck.
Last one, Appalachian State at North Carolina. North Carolina is a 3-point favorite that is down from 3.5. North Carolina got their first loss last week. They looked like complete garbage in the first half, and I think that's the way to bet if you're going to do it, is you take App State in the first half.
Their first halves have been bad every week.
Every week. North Carolina looks like trash. But they're the comeback kids. Yeah, they are the comeback kids. Sam Howell looked good again last week. Not in the first half, obviously, because none of them looked good in the first half.
If they played a fifth half or fifth quarter, man, I'd have won that game.
I'll tell you this. The metrics actually have App State favored in this game. And I told you this before the season.
Yeah.
Like, I think North Carolina probably going to win. Yeah. But, man, this seems like a rough spot because North Carolina's got Clemson next week. You know, they're coming off of a loss last week. I think App State, they are looking to get a big-time win, kind of the same way UCF did last week. This is, you know, the in-state team. And so that is going to wrap it up for the college football preview show. As always, go over to winningcureseverything.com. You can find more information on us over there. Hit subscribe on YouTube, whatever your favorite podcast app is. Make sure you go to tunicatravel.com. NFL Big Game Previews. The show brought to you by Tunica, Mississippi, the South's premier sports gambling destination. They got 6 incredible sports books. I was just down at them last weekend. Fantastic stuff. A bunch of them got kiosks set up now. It's a lot of fun. Horseshoe does not have theirs yet. Gold Strike, I didn't see any at their place. Sam's Town has like 6 of them. They're all over the place over there. Hollywood, they've got one. I'm telling you, these places are great. Go check them out for yourself. Fantastic stuff. You can find more information on it over at tunicatravel.com. You can find more information about us at winningcureseverything.com. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Leave us some comments. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. Tell us where you agree, where you don't agree. Because I know a lot of you don't agree with what we think, and that's fine. A lot of you don't agree with what Chris thinks either, and that's fine. But it is what it is.
You said we. You didn't have to single me out.
I'm just saying. There were some guys that were calling you out.
We that's were the same person.
Yeah. All right, let's jump into the big games of the week, and then we'll hit on the interesting matchups, the extra points. Big game number one.
One of the biggest games of the year.
I think it might be.
I'm so ready. If this is a letdown, I'm going to be disappointed.
Chiefs and Ravens.
Golly. Lamar, Chiefs, Patrick.
Yeah.
Come on.
This Chiefs minus 6.5. What's the total on this one?
52. Biggin?
54.5. 54.5. Lamar Jackson looks unbelievable. I had somebody ask me about Lamar Jackson today on Twitter.
Okay.
And they said, is this just a real quick blip, or is he going to remain good for the rest of the season?
So they asked the one of us that hates Lamar.
Yes. As opposed and you, to one you of will us be proud Lamar. Of what I said.
Okay.
I said, I think this is a full year thing. They built this offense
around him,
and it is brilliant. If he doesn't like what he sees, he has lanes to be able to run. If he doesn't like what he sees down the field, he has got his tight end to be able to throw to, so correct. For his mid-range.
Checking down.
And then he's got speedsters.
That's right.
I mean, just...
And he's got a cannon, and he can hit them deep.
Yes. And
he has a really pretty deep...
Hollywood ball. Brown has been...
So good. So
unbelievable.
This is a fun team.
Yeah, they really are. And they'll put up some points.
I've spent my entire adult life hating this organization, despising everything about them. Lamar, building bridges.
Yeah, a little bit.
Bringing people together.
Mahomes.
Tearing down that wall.
Mahomes, of course. Yeah. It doesn't matter who he has playing on his team.
He's the MVP. He might throw 60 touchdowns. He's just incredible.
Yeah, he really is. I did bring up on the recap show, his success rate in the red zone has not been that good.
In a game that he threw for almost 450 yards and four touchdowns, he wasn't in the red zone a lot.
Well, that's what I was going to point
out. Because he throws for 40-yard bombs.
Yeah, when you don't get into the red zone a lot because you've got so many explosive plays.
Because you score from 30 yards out instead of 20.
The success rate really doesn't matter at that point. Like the success rate is about 38%, which is 27th in the league. Last year, he was second in the league.
If he had 450 yards and one touchdown, I would be concerned.
But no, not with this. Now, I was a little concerned because they didn't score any in the second half.
It's fine.
But
did they win the game handily? Yeah,
they won the game.
They beat the hell out of them?
Yeah, they wasn't
scored
even close.
A bunch of points.
Won their last ball game in Oakland.
Ever.
Yeah. That was pretty big showing. As far as picks go, the fact that this has gone down to 6.5, I think I still might ride with the Ravens.
I'm taking Baltimore. I'm riding Lamar. This Chiefs team is really good, but they're going to get got. And there's only a few teams in the league that can get them.
Yeah.
Okay. And
you're taking the Ravens to win straight up?
I'm gonna take the Ravens to win the game.
I'm going to take the Chiefs to win. I'm going to take the Ravens. Because this is still in Kansas City.
Correct.
I'm taking the Chiefs to win straight up. I'm taking the Ravens to cover.
This will be one of two really good offenses the Chiefs have to play all year.
Yeah.
So.
And there's, like you said, there ain't that many.
No. Especially not in that division.
You're taking Ravens straight up and...
I'll pull the upset.
Okay, I'm with it. Game number two, you will actually be at this game.
I'll be there. That's right. Got my ticket and everything.
The Rams -3 at the Browns.
Sunday Night Football, coming to Cleveland, baby.
Your Brownies finally got the win.
Got a win. Looked good doing it, too.
Looked pretty good. Now, obviously.
A lot to work on still.
Yeah. But Odell Beckham Jr.
There's a reason. You just kind of deal with his pain in the ass stuff.
I'll tell you this. I was pretty excited about it because I took over one of my buddy's legacy teams or whatever it's called in fantasy, right? And
I tried really hard not to talk fantasy football.
I'm going to throw it out there because this is a big game preview, whatever. But
everybody wants to hear about somebody else's fantasy team.
I had OBJ on this thing. And he had, awesome. I had to get 25.5 points.
Yep.
This dude scored 27 fantasy points last night. It was ridiculous. But I think he's going to be able to do that against a lot of people.
Podcasts are turning off all over the place.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. Actually, that's not fine. Please, God, keep listening. Keep watching. But, man, I'm telling you, I think
he's really good at football.
Yeah, he's
which
really
is
good.
Why you deal with his piddly pain in the ass stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's not real destructive. It's just annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
Nobody really gets hurt in the stuff that he talks about and does. It's just all about him. And that's fine. You put him on an island. You say, go real far. I'm going to throw the ball up. You make the catch and you score. And we're okay.
The only thing that I'm worried about with the Browns right now is this offensive line.
Oh, yeah. They've got a lot to work on.
I thought
the Browns are not a finished product at all.
I thought they'd be a better unit.
No. I thought they would be above average, but I think the grading of average has gone down in the league. They may finish top 15 offensive lines when the season's over with.
But they ain't good.
But they're not good. They're not good. Baker's going to have to get the ball out faster. One thing they're just going to have to do, it drove me insane. First, this started the very first quarter of the game, so it's not the end of the game and they're bleeding the clock down. Every single play call, every snap gets down into 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second. That is the offense not getting the play in time.
Yeah.
So I had a conversation with a Cleveland friend of mine that's connected to the team. Used to do an AM radio show there and then went on the internet, talked Brown stuff for a while, connected, wrote for the team and for a couple of sports, not newspapers, when newspapers died. They were looking for freelancers. So he's connected. He's plugged in. And he and I had the conversation. I said, look, this might be an unpopular opinion. Todd Monken's a hell of a football man. He's a really good offensive coordinator. I think all that takes on being a head coach, especially for the first time, I would not want Freddie to have that responsibility right now. At least for this year, let's get your – and it's not an overreaction of how the offense has looked the first 2 weeks, because I think they're going to – I just think it's really hard to be a head coach. There's a reason that that the stress and all the work goes into it. If you could take one thing off of his plate and put it on a very, very capable hands of someone else, I think I would do that right now.
Yeah, I think I agree.
But not my decision. Not my problem, but the offense is getting better. They're going to struggle. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game.
Oh, I agree.
I think the Browns defense is getting better. There's nobody in the league that can block Myles Garrett. There's just no one in the league that can do it.
Yeah, you might be right, but I do wonder if there's anybody in the league that can block Aaron Darnold.
Yeah. No, that's it. You're good. Aaron Donald.
Donald. I was thinking Sam Darnold because
here's the problem. Is he going to play? Is he healthy?
So far as everything I've read, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He
went out in the Saints game, so.
Yeah. But they've all said that he'll be back this week.
Okay.
Now, unless I've missed something, did you see something else?
No. I didn't see anything that normal people don't see, but
okay.
It's rare for him to come out of games the way he did.
Give me a pick.
I'm going with my Browns.
Browns straight up.
They're going to win this football game. They're a home dog at night in prime time on Sunday night football. The first time Sunday night, Monday night football have been to Cleveland in over a decade. They're coming away with the W.
Okay.
And the Rams just aren't going to go undefeated. It's just not going to happen.
They're
going to fall apart. They're going to have a bad game here or there. And I'm going to tell you this. If Myles Garrett's going to be breaking ankles, what happens if Goff goes down? Because that's not out of the realm of possibilities.
I mean, at that point, who is their backup right now?
I don't. Blake Bortles.
Oh, yeah.
I do know the answer to that.
I'm going to go with the Rams here.
Go ahead.
I'm going to take
that's the right move. That's the smart move. I mean, that is the play, especially to win. Now, there might be people that will take it. So let me give you a little Vegas insider information. 93% of the people as of Tuesday evening, almost Wednesday morning, are on the Rams. I feel better and better about this.
Yeah. I'll side with the
prime time in Cleveland, baby. No, go with the Rams, please.
I'll roll with the Rams. I'll stick with the Rams. That's fine.
With them.
That's fine.
It's
you
gonna be
you get your W.
It's gonna be
that'll be all right. All right, game number three. The Texans at the Chargers. Now, Chargers didn't look real good last week.
Well, they haven't looked good in 2 weeks.
No, they haven't looked good, period.
No.
What's the money like? I mean, it's 74% on Houston.
Yep.
But I don't like Houston either.
Nope.
I just...
Me neither.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? Like, these are supposed to be two of the better teams.
They're not.
And they are so not.
They're not. And I love the Chargers. You know how I feel about this team.
I mean, that's my Super Bowl team.
Yeah, I'm a Phillip Rivers fan. I've defended him forever. They're just not. This team is too hurt. Nobody's consistent. They need Mike Williams to be healthy and stay healthy. They need Keenan Allen to be healthy and stay healthy. And when they get in the red zone, they need to hand the ball to our boy, Jaren Jackson. Because Mike Eckler has carried the ball.
Justin Jackson.
Yeah.
Jaren
Jackson plays for the Grizzlies. I'm getting all my JJs mixed up.
J3.
Yeah.
J3.
Austin Eckler. I called him Mike Eckler because it's late and I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Austin Eckler has carried the ball in both games, got in the red zone, and fumbled both times. This guy is a pass-catching back. He gets out in the open field. He's really, really good.
Yeah.
When you get all these big, nasty dudes together, he didn't run between the tackles. He didn't run between the guards. That's what Justin does.
Yeah. I don't think Eckler's good at that.
Quit putting Eckler in the game in that situation.
Yeah.
It pisses me off.
Well, you remember last year I was so high on Anthony Lynn. I'm like, he proved everybody wrong. And it's not
He's not terrible.
His decision.
No. Well, some of it is, but you're right.
But, man, there's just some stuff that's going on this year that's very questionable.
If I have to pick this game, what's the line? 3?
Yeah, 3.
I'm going to take the Chargers because I don't know how not to take the Chargers.
Well, see, I don't trust Bill O'Brien here either.
There's no team that lulls me in like them.
Yeah, I'm rolling the same way. I mean, I'm all favorites right now. I don't think I will be.
No, you took the Ravens.
I took the Ravens favorites. +6.5, but I took the Chiefs to
win. Oh, you're talking about
just like straight up. I haven't taken a dog to win yet. But that's okay. I mean, we'll figure this out. So, game number 4. Falcons at the Colts. Colts are a 1.5-point favorite. The Colts have looked really good.
They're a really good football team.
Now, that being said, like we said that the Chargers didn't look real good in week 1, but they did get the win over the Colts.
Correct.
They didn't cover for me, but that's okay. Colts coming home for the first time?
The Colts are not 2-0 strictly because Adam Vinatieri has left like 14 points out on the field in missed field goals.
Yeah, everybody kind of... Did you see the Pat McAfee thing?
No.
McAfee did a video that was like...
But I love Pat, so I need to find it.
He said, in honor of, you know, Vinatieri, you know, the GOAT possibly retiring, there's only one thing left to do, and it shows him putting on his Colts jersey, and he's going out to the practice field, and he lines up to kick a field goal, and he kicks it, and you hear him like cussing, it's MF for this, and whatever, and he goes, all right, so that's not going to work. But what you can do is go over to FanDuel, and you know, it's all it's an advertisement.
Yeah, plug.
But yeah, it was hilarious. But yeah, Vinatieri.
They are four, not just like a missed extra point here and a missed field goal there. That Chargers game, he missed 2 field goals, 2 extra points.
Yeah, that's 8 points there.
It's 8 points you lose.
He missed 2 extra points. 6. And did he miss a field goal against the
Titans? Yes.
Yeah, so he missed a field goal and 2 extra points.
He's missed a lot. A lot. So,
I mean, we're talking.
So, I just think they'll get those things cleaned up. They'll get somebody in that can kick that's not 45 years old. And they'll be. I like this Colts team. I've got the Colts winning. I think I like them to win this division. I think it's hard to lose a guy like Luck. But that tells you how good of a job they've done building this team to where
they can win without him.
They are finally in a position where they are not all about one guy.
Yeah. I want to take the Falcons here so bad.
Oh, and after that Sunday night game?
What's the money looking like?
After that Sunday night football game, I wouldn't put one nickel on the Falcons. They won that game. It's 80% Falcons.
Good Lord. Give me the Colts.
Go on and do it.
No, I'm
do
good.
It.
Colts -1.5.
It's going to be spectacular.
For both of us. Right? You're taking Colts?
Yes, sir.
Okay. -1.5. All right. Game number 5.
This is going to be a big game.
Yeah.
Now it's like we need 5 games for the big games.
The Saints, there's not a lot of big games this week. Well, there's some that are intriguing.
Yes. I'm going to tell you this. If the Jags can get to .500... then every game they play, it's going to start being a big game. Because they're not going to blow anybody out, so they're all going to be close games. And then the second thing is, they got a star at quarterback that is the most intriguing person in the NFL.
I do agree with that.
So we need some of these dudes to turn into stars.
I think Minshew could do that. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about the Saints and the Seahawks for this one. But we'll get into the other stuff here momentarily. Saints and Seahawks. Seahawks -4. What's our money looking like here?
It's pretty even.
Oh,
no, it's not. It was public. I remember I told you that.
76% on Seattle.
That's the only bet that I'm just sucker betting it. All in on the public. I love this team. I haven't liked them recently, but you know how I feel about Russell Wilson. And last year's Russell Wilson broke my heart. Because for the last 3, 4, 5 years of Russell Wilson being in my life, he was hustle and bustle. He was one of the most entertaining and spectacular quarterbacks on the field. Last year, the offense just took everything he was good at and dumbed it way down.
Yeah.
And they put the governor on him. And they said, no, you don't get to drive over 55. And it was terrible. Yeah. He put up good fantasy points, and he still won a bunch of games. But it wasn't the same.
I mean, they made it to the playoffs, but once they got into the playoffs...
He wasn't the same Russell Wilson.
Well, no, and I told you that that's what worried me about him, because I was Brian Schottenheimer calling the offense.
I'm getting it.
But they changed it up.
I don't know if they changed it up. I'm not plugged into this team. I don't have any connections in Seattle. I know this. They got in that Steelers game, and he said, no, I'm going back to the old Russell. We are airing this thing out. Y'all go deep. You run post. You run slants. There's no 3, 4, 5 yard outs anymore. We are lighting it up. If I can't get it, I'm running. Yep. But we are going. We're turning this offense back up to 11. And they did. I know they did it against a bad defense. The Saints defense is far, far better than the Steelers defense has been. And that's going to be a tougher thing. I think Bridgewater is going to be much improved from just getting thrown into the game. If there's any coach that I trust to get a quarterback ready in 1 week, it's Sean Payton. But with all that being said, man, I'm taking the Seahawks, and I'm going with the public strictly on the philosophy of I want Russell Wilson to be exciting again. I need explosive Russell Wilson in my life. And if he is, Bridgewater can't hang with that. They'll win this game, and they'll win by a touchdown.
We'll talk about this in the gambling picks podcast, okay. The NFL one, and I've got some stats that kind of back things up with the way that I'm leaning there. I'm going Seahawks -4.
Cool.
You're going Seahawks -4.
I'm going Seahawks -4.
We are siding with the public, and that is a terrifying thing.
You know what I might do in this game? That over-under is 44.5. I actually like the over.
44.5, and you like that?
I think this. I think
Seahawks, Teddy Bridgewater looked awful.
He's gonna look. He's gonna look better. They're gonna score. They're gonna score at least twice. If Russell Wilson score 35 and they get 14 plus maybe a field goal here or there, I'm busted and we're good. I look. You can do what you want, and I could be dead ass wrong. I've been it before. That's fine. I think Russell Wilson's offense is going to be much better, and I think Teddy Bridgewater's going to get this offense looking decent.
Okay.
And I also think Sean's going to have some tricks up his sleeve. They're not going to run just a conventional offense for four quarters.
No.
Because that's not the Sean Payton I know. When he gets backed into a corner, he just pulls some stuff out. We're going to see Taysom Hill a lot.
No, I think you're right about that. All right, let's move into the extra points really quick. Steelers at the 49ers. 49ers, a 6.5-point favorite. It was a pick'em to start, and then Roethlisberger, it was announced he's out for the season. Right. Line jumped up to 7. It's back down to 6.5. Public seems to be big time on the Steelers, right?
Yes, sir.
63%.
78%.
78% of the money on the Steelers.
Oh, that's money. I'm spread.
Yeah. The spread, 63% on the Steelers to cover.
0-2 Steelers versus 2-0 49ers.
I don't think anybody saw that.
Had that coming.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. If I had to lean one way, I'm probably leaning Steelers because it's just way too many points. And I think Mason Rudolph is pretty good. I think he looked okay.
Mason Rudolph's going to be fine. Listen, that offense didn't look any worse with him in there than Ben.
No, I think it looked a little better.
Yeah. Chris Long for...
And I think that could have to do with the injury.
Podcast, but...
But...
Chris Long was on Ryan Russillo's podcast on The Ringer and on Mondays, and he talked about how I always like watching backup quarterbacks and how the team celebrates them after they score their first touchdown. And you can tell, does the team believe in this guy? Or is it a relief? Is it a, all right, we got one? Or is it a, they love this guy and they're fired up? And he said... I'm telling you, the way the Steelers celebrated around him, they trust him. The guys on the field trust him just as much as they trust Ben.
That's awesome.
That could speak well for him and for that organization going through the rest of this year. I think for the first time since he's been there, we're finally getting the Kyle Shanahan team that we've waited for 3 years.
Garoppolo's looked pretty good.
Garoppolo's looked...
And that defense.
Really good.
Holy crap, the front.
Now, they've still got no secondary. They got no secondary whatsoever. But you know what a bad secondary's best friend is? A front seven. And they got a front seven that's getting after folks. Now, that offensive line for the Steelers is supposed to be a strength. Hadn't been a strength all year.
You still hadn't.
I'm going to tell you this. Rudolph's going to get pressure. He's going to get it. He didn't get it a lot against Seattle, which I don't know what's going on with Seattle's defense. This is why I think Teddy could score. But anyway, I think I think I'm going with the 49ers. And a lot of this is heart. A lot of this is I want Kyle Shanahan's offense to be fun. Yeah. I want a Kyle Shanahan team to be really good because when he's been good in the NFL, it's a lot of fun. And we need something fun happening after all these guys going down and getting hurt. We need fun to happen.
We need Garoppolo to look good. We need good things going on.
Yeah. Who we got next?
Next up, the Broncos at the Packers. Oh, Packers talking about 7.5-point.
And then just sucking the wind out of
fun. I know, right? Packers didn't score after that quick 21-0 lead against the Vikings.
Got a big lead.
Got a big lead, but this seems like a ton of points. However, Joe Flacco, good gracious, man.
This Packer defense, I don't trust Joe.
Neither do I. Like, I'm staying away from this one.
Oh, I won't touch this game at all.
If I had to go one way or the other, I'd probably go Broncos just because 7.5 seems like a lot. Like, that hook is pretty crazy.
If I get over a touchdown, because it simply because the Broncos defense is still really good, and there's just something still not right about the Packers offense. When they scored 21 points, I thought, okay, we're getting the Packers offense that people have talked about for years. But the last 3 years, it hadn't been there.
Yeah.
They scored 21 points by the second quarter, middle of the second quarter, and I thought, okay, the Packers are back. Then with the rest of the game, they didn't score, and they weren't in the red zone. No. They weren't field goal range.
They didn't get
close. I mean, it was three and out, and I just thought, maybe it's not fixed. Maybe it's just Kirk Cousins gives you a couple turnovers, and you can score on short fields.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer. I know this. Broncos defense is still pretty good. Offense,
still not good.
Long way to go.
Still not good. Next up, Raiders and Vikings. This is in Minnesota. Vikings -8.5. The money is actually going towards. It's way back up. Way back up at the top. It's the Raiders.
Where the hell am I?
There it is, Oakland.
Bad at driving here.
Let's see. That's 50-50 split with 97% of the money line bets coming on Minnesota, which is
well. Whenever
crazy.
You got a touchdown game, most people are not doing them.
I just 8.5 seems like a lot of points.
I got no earthly idea what to think of either one of these teams.
Kirk Cousins, you talked about this before. He throws the most back-breaking interceptions. He turns the ball over.
Now, if they have a lead, Vikings aren't. That's what I'm saying. This is where live betting comes in. If they have a lead, just keep pounding them. Every quarter, just keep pounding the Vikings over
and over. Because once they get that lead, they're running Dalvin Cook like it's going out of style. That's right.
If they don't have the lead, just wait until they're in scoring position, and then you just bet turnovers. He's going to turn. It's going to happen.
Yeah. I wouldn't bet this one. I'm saying
real far away
from it. If you did want to lean, I'd probably go Raiders here, but not to win.
I don't know that I would do that just because I don't know. Like I said, if the Vikings get out early, they're going to stay out. That's just the way they're going
to
be.
Yeah. But if I had to lean,
that's fine.
I'd probably do Raiders just because 8.5 seems like an enormous amount of points. Next up, the Bengals at the Bills. This is in my gambling picks. Bengals did not look good last week. They overperformed in game one, I think, for what's the head coach's name? Zach Taylor?
Yes.
Overperformed week one in Seattle. Going on the road at the Bills, this defense for the Bills is legit. You were 100% dead on with them. Josh Allen looks a little bit better. Running game, dude, Singletary something.
Now he pulled a hammy last week. Those soft tissue things scare me to death. Hey, so before the season, I thought this team could win 9 games, and they are a wild card team. I think they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I feel really good about that. I think 9 games might be generous. Are not enough.
Yeah.
They could legitimately – I looked at their schedule the other day. I don't have it up, and I'm not going to start searching for it now. It'll take too long. But they're going to start – I think they're going to start off 3-0, and it's not real high. At some point in time, they still got the Dolphins twice.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this team
could win. They got the Jets again.
Yeah, I think this team could win 11 games, 12 games. Is that crazy?
I don't think so. I mean, that schedule is
and they're really good. Like, that's not just the schedule is super soft.
And that's not
they're
just
also
talking about
really
the,
good.
That's not talking about the offense.
No.
Like, the offense is good.
Fine.
It's good.
Fine. The defense is real good.
Defense.
Next is level. Unbelievable. Good. No, I completely agree. I love this team.
John McDermott is the job he's done there.
Coach, right now, he's my coach of the year.
Whew.
He starts the season off 3-0. He's coach of the year.
I don't know, man. He played the Giants and the Jets and the
Bengals. You keep crapping on all these other teams. It doesn't matter to me. I think he's way better than advertised. Nobody gives that man credit.
No,
Sean McDermott.
I just don't think that the three games that he would have won at the beginning, if they all won this
so
one.
So look at the talent he's got and look at the talent everybody else has got. Bill's loaded. You're not giving it to Bill. Andy Reid's loaded. You're not giving it to Andy.
Yeah, but I don't think it's just based off these three games. Like, I think he's going
to
do well.
Well, yeah, but I only got three games to look at. We haven't played the whole season.
Three-game sample size. He is the coach of the year. Okay.
I only got two games, really. We're just assuming that he beats the Bengals.
Next game. Thursday night.
We done?
We got two more. It's the
two more?
Well, the two primetime. The two primetime games. Thursday night football, Titans at the Jags. Jaguars +1.5 at home. Gardner Minshew is kind of like a covering machine, man.
I like this guy.
Obviously, he didn't start week one, so he didn't cover against the Chiefs. But he did look really good in backup duty. He came out last week as a starter. He got the cover. You could not get any closer to that goal line than Leonard Fournette did. But still, that play calling really irritated me.
I love going for it. I love the balls to do that. You know that. I wanted him to put the ball in Gardner's hands, but that's because he's our guy.
Well, and he's also the one that got him down the field.
That's right.
That's what irritated me.
Infuriates us more than a team running the ball, and then they get to the goal line, they throw it three times. Or passing, and they get to the goal line and they run it three times right up the middle. Like,
we talked about this.
You just got 85 yards. Yeah. Like, it was nothing doing one thing. You don't get down here. Let's just throw that whole playbook away.
It was
away.
Kentucky and Florida.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
my.
On the college side. Where it,
oh, Lord.
It, like, you and I talked about where it's...
So ready to fight.
You get down the field by Sawyer Smith throwing the football. And in this case, it was Gardner Minshew throwing the football.
And then you just throw that whole game book away. Just did that whole... All those plays didn't even matter.
Let's forget the thing that actually worked. I mean, that just...
It's so frustrating.
So, Jaguars, Titans have kind of owned them here recently. Bad spot for the Jags, I think. They feel good about themselves, which, of course, obviously, you always want to feel good. Pissed off Titans team coming in. This is always a bad spot for the Jags, it feels like.
I don't know, man. I just have a hard time thinking the Jags are going to stay 0-3. At some point in time, they're going to have a kitchen sink game where they throw everything at somebody.
I think things are weird with Jalen Ramsey and that head coach and all that. I don't think Ramsey is the only one that's upset with the head coach. I think there's chemistry.
So I heard something completely different about that today, which is the two defensive guys that got up and pulled the coach away were citing they were sick of Ramsey too, but they knew we gotta get the coach out of the situation.
Yeah. But
they were sick of Ramsey, not mad that the coach came over there.
Right.
If your own position is siding with the coach, with management, over siding with the player, then that's not a good sign.
For the player.
That's not a problem in the locker room. That one guy's an asshole.
It just makes me curious. Right.
Okay.
I'm just curious.
Okay. Curiosity is not a bad thing.
Yeah, I want to see what happens. Just want to see what happens. Finally, we'll wrap it up. Monday Night Football, Bears at the Redskins. Redskins, a 3.5-point dog at home. This game is a dog because, good gracious, neither one of these offenses great at all. We gotta stop
calling this the big game.
It's the Monday. It's the prime time game.
There's only 16 games, and we talked about all 16 of them.
No, we talked about 11 of them, and these are just the extra points.
11 of the 16.
These are the extra points. These are the interesting ones. I'm always going to put Thursday night and Monday night and Sunday night in there.
We shouldn't have that rule.
And so,
I don't always do anything.
Maybe going forward,
because
we don't need
tomorrow
to.
Is totally different than today, and I don't always do anything.
Well, there are people that are interested in these games.
Well, yes, because they're NFL fans of those teams. But if we're going to do that, then let's break down all 16 of them. Because 11 out of 16 is ridiculous.
If you're watching on YouTube or you're listening on the podcast, hit us up on Twitter. Leave some comments in the YouTube section.
I mean, you just shit all over the Tampa Bay fans.
If you think...
Because we didn't talk about their game.
About them and the Giants.
Yeah.
Yeah, we
Miami,
will.
Dallas. We didn't talk about them
we
at all.
We will when we get TJ on for the gambling picks. But if... Look, you guys leave comments. Tell us what you want. Do you want us to talk about all the games? Do you want us to talk about fewer games? Do you think we're hitting it right in the sweet
They're
spot?
They're going to say all the games because it doesn't take any work for them to say, talk about all of them.
Maybe so. We'll see. You guys get to decide. We'll listen. We'll listen. Whatever y'all want us to do, we'll do it. We'll just roll right through every one of them, if need be.
We're gonna create a Venmo, and you send us some cheese so we can quit our jobs. We're not good enough at this to make a living at it right now. That's fine.
There you go.
One day, if we do, I'll give you every game in the world if I could do this for a living.
Hey, believe that.
I got three other jobs.
Believe that. All right, that's gonna wrap up the show. As always, brought to you by Tunica, Mississippi, the South's premier sports gambling destination. Go over to tunicatravel.com to find more information on all of their sports books. Good stuff down there. Go to winningcureseverything.com to find more information about us. Subscribe on Apple Podcast. Subscribe on Google Podcast, Spotify, YouTube, etc. Leave us some nice reviews. Leave some comments. We'll see you guys again next time.
Best breakdown of the week. Monday Night Football.
Believe that.
Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app, visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.